Thank you, Bill, and good to see each one this morning. Glad that you're able to be out and you had the interest in being out. Whatever motivated you to be here, we're thankful that that motivation did compel you to gather together, and we hope that you've already been blessed by the time that we spent together sharing. And now we're going to look into the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to turn to the first chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the focus of what we often call the Christmas story. He's, of course, the focus of the Bible. He's the focus of human history. He's the focus of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing how God, in His infinite wisdom and grace, has chosen in putting forth the story of the Lord Jesus, has included the lives of other people. That's God's grace and God's wisdom. And He continues to do that as He puts forth the story of the Lord Jesus. He's wanting to use your life. He's wanting to use my life to reflect that story of how God became a man and how God, as man, lived upon this earth and went to the cross of Calvary as the substitute. For the sins, the substitute for all humanity to bear our sins upon Himself. And He rose again, and God is still communicating that story. You know, as we look in the Scripture and we read the Gospel according to Matthew and there in Luke, and we read again what we often encounter as the Christmas story, we read of a number of different individuals that God included in this amazing story. I want to look at one of them this morning. His name is Joseph. Joseph. You know, when we look again at Scripture and the people that are there, God is not embarrassed. I wouldn't say it like that. God does not try to cover up the realities of the humanness of individuals. We see people warts and all many times. But God does paint pictures for us in the lives of different ones that He portrays in Scripture. And as He presents them, we often find examples for us to follow. And this morning, I'd like to encourage us, as we look at what we see Matthew says about this man, Joseph, I'd like to encourage all of us to be just like Joseph. Be just like Joseph. You know, the first way that I'm going to encourage us to be just like Joseph, I really don't have to encourage you to do that. It's just a fact of life. Because just like Joseph, each of us will encounter difficult and often unexpected circumstances in life. Look at chapter 1 of Matthew's Gospel and verse 18. Again, familiar verses. You may have read them individually or with your family or heard them read during this season. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," or this is how it happened, "after this manner. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Joseph is a man, and we're going to see that he's described here in the next verse as a just man, a righteous man. Joseph, according to the custom of that day, has had a woman betrothed to him, promised to him. Her name is Mary. A marriage covenant has been established. Joseph has talked to Mary's mother, according to the traditions of that time, has talked to Mary's father, and has determined the price that will be paid, not to buy the wife, but to have that wife betrothed to him. She's been set apart to him, for him, for 12 months, as he, during that time, prepares a place for them to live. And during that time of betrothal, more official than our times of engagement, during that time, it's found, we see there in verse 18, she was found with child. She was detected to be pregnant. Don't know how this discovery came to be made known to Joseph. But he knew that he was not married to this woman. She was pregnant. He knew that he was not the father of this child, and yet his wife was with child. You know, a difficult and unexpected circumstance in the life of this man, Joseph, a just man. Here he is preparing to be married. Here he is having this woman betrothed to him. Everybody in the community knows about it, and now somehow he's got to deal with this issue. He's got to deal with this circumstance. You know, here's a man, he was committed to his espoused wife. And now she has obviously, it seems, been unfaithful to him. And you can imagine how he must have looked at that, how he must have felt the hurt, being demeaned, as it were, as a man, for here the woman to whom he was to be married soon has been unfaithful. Either he didn't know what the angel had told her, as we read in Luke chapter 1, that Mary was wondering, how am I going to be with child? I know not a man. I've not had intimate relations with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now either Joseph didn't know that, or he couldn't believe the story that Mary was telling him. Can you imagine the high that he was on thinking about marrying this woman? Planning for that, preparing for that. From that high to the lowest of lows that he probably could imagine at that point in his life. That suddenly this woman to whom he had already committed his heart and his life, his possessions, his person, and now she has been found to be with child. Just like Joseph. We're going to encounter difficult and often unexpected circumstances in our lives. It's likely that during this Christmas season that some of the folks sitting in this room right now, some of you, some of us, have encountered difficult and possibly unexpected circumstances just during the Christmas season. You weren't expecting things to go like they went, maybe in a relationship or maybe in a circumstance of your life. Maybe something in your mind, something in your emotions, but very likely there are people here today that just recently have encountered something they weren't expecting. Others here in this room have been looking so forward to Christmas, and now that it's over, there's somewhat of a letdown. And that letdown is affecting you possibly emotionally. And then, of course, whether there's Christmas at a particular time of year or not, everybody, because you're a human being, you're going to go through some of those unexpected circumstances that bring difficulty into your life. It may not be what Joseph went through. It may not be as life-changing as what Joseph was experiencing. Or maybe it's more life-changing for you. Maybe it's deep in your mind and heart right now, and your emotions and what you're facing right now. And you're wondering how you're going to deal with it. You know, the Lord Jesus told His disciples, those who followed Him, He said, you know, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We can look all throughout Scripture and we find that for the ones who follow the Lord Jesus with all of their hearts, there's going to be problems, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be struggles. There are going to be unanswered questions and confusion. There's going to be loss and bereavement and hurt and pain. There's going to be misunderstanding. Paul could say himself, you know, we're troubled on every side. That was his experience as a missionary serving the Lord Jesus. He and his missionary team, he said, we're troubled on every side. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. But of course, he would go on to say, we're not distressed, though we're troubled on every side. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. We may be persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but no way we're destroyed. Paul could say, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And Paul said, you know, our outward man is perishing. And we're going through the problems of this life and the struggles of our experience in history. And we're all humans and we're experiencing the impact of sin in nature, in those around us, in our own lives. And we can look throughout the Scripture from the very beginning of time all the way through the end, and we can find time after time, individual after individual, couple after couple, family after family, local church after local church that experienced unexpected and difficult circumstances. We're just like Joseph. We're just like Joseph. We know what it is to be up here and then suddenly to be down here. We know what it is to think things are going well and suddenly to find out things aren't going well. It may be a doctor's report. It may be an incident on the highway. It may be a phone call. It may be a struggle that has never been a struggle before, but suddenly you're facing unexpected difficulties and circumstances. And it's tough. It's tough. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I raised my hand and requested prayer for Kim and me. Unspoken request. I don't do that too much. But some things coming into our lives, and those things, instead of getting better, have progressively gotten worse in ways. And you know, I feel like I'm just like Joseph. I'm not facing the same thing he did. But difficult circumstances, unexpected issues and problems. We're just like Joseph. We can't help being just like Joseph in that way, but you know, there's some other ways that I think we need to seek to be just like Joseph. The first one is this: we should seek to be characterized by righteousness in the difficult circumstances of life. Again, reading verse 18 and then into verse 19. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. A just man. That's really what brought my attention to the title of this sermon, Just Like Joseph. That's a play on words, you might say. Because we are just like Joseph, and in many ways we should be just like Joseph, but the focal point of God's description of this man is right there in that little phrase, being a just man. We should be just like Joseph. The word just, and it may be in your translation, you may have the word righteous. The thought of just, of righteous, is that of being right or upright. Now, we can be just and righteous and upright before people, and we should be. As people examine our lives and look at our lives and think about us and respond when your name or my name is mentioned, hopefully they will think of someone who is right, who is upright, who is righteous and just. And of course, there's also that standing before God. Because even though other people could look at Joseph and say, now there's a just man right there. There's a righteous, upright man there. I've watched him work. I've seen him do business in the marketplace. I've seen him relate with this woman, Mary. I've seen him handle problems in his community. He's an upright man. But more important than that, God was looking beyond those things and seeing the heart motive behind them. God looks at the heart. You know, Joseph's character is seen in what we're going to look at this morning. It said that character is what you are when no one is looking. And much of what we see this morning in this passage is Joseph when nobody is looking except God. We should be just like Joseph. We should be characterized in difficult circumstances in life by righteousness, by justice. You know, the Bible speaks of different people being righteous before God. In Luke chapter 1, we read about a couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, that we often hear about this time of year. They would be the parents of John. It would be John the Baptizer. We read that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And as people looked at this couple, they would see a couple who would be considered upright in the eyes of the community. We read about Simeon, another man associated with the Christmas story, who was just and devout. We read in the Old Testament about Noah. Noah, a faithful man, a man of faith, who prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. We read of Abraham, a man who believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I think there's a key there that we see in Abraham. He believed God. And God credited that to him as righteousness. In other words, God looks down and He sees the true heart of an individual. He knows whether or not we truly believe Him. And we're going to see that in the life of Joseph, how that plays out. And how the reality of what we believe is seen in the evidence of what we do, in the way that we live our lives, in public and also in private. Romans chapter 4 speaks of Abraham, that man that heard God speak and believed what God said. And not only said, "I believe what you say," he acted in such a way to evidence the reality of his faith. It wasn't just words. And we read in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Paul would write earlier to the Roman believers, it's not the hearers of the law who were just before God, it's the doers of the law. And if anyone can perfectly do the law in every way, that person would be just before God. The Scripture makes it very clear that all are sinners. There's none righteous. There are none just. No, not one. Not apart from God. It's not within us to be just in ourselves. It wasn't within Joseph. He was not going to be just by keeping the law. Now, he may have been upright in the community. And God could look and see the reality of his life. And God could look and see his heart. And that's God's measurement. Righteousness. Just. In 1 John chapter 2, we read that everyone who does righteousness is born of God. Again, that's God's inspection. That's not you looking at me and say, "Oh, I saw Mark Shelley do something righteous, so therefore he must be born of God." Because there are many people who do things that seem to be righteous, and we read in the Scripture that all our righteous deeds, apart from God, they're filthy rags. They mean nothing. we find that Joseph was a man like Abraham who believed God. He took God at his word. But not only should we be characterized by righteousness, we should react righteously to the difficult circumstances in life. And look at what Joseph did. I am so struck by this man. And as we go through difficult circumstances and unexpected things that come into our lives, how do we respond to that? How do we react? Look at what this man did. I'm continually amazed by his reaction. Verse 19 again. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. I noticed two particular ways that Joseph reacted to this difficult circumstance. Here his wife is, she's pregnant, is not married to her yet, officially, betrothed to him, and now she's found to be with child. And at this point, he's not heard from God about the circumstance. His understanding is, this woman has been unfaithful to me. She has broken my heart. She has humiliated me in public. In this community, it's going to be an embarrassment. The marriage is going to be off. What did he do? We read that he reacted in two ways. First of all, he reacted with sensitivity. Here's this just man, this righteous man. He's not willing to make her a public example. He didn't want to shame her in public. He was concerned about Mary's reputation and about her feelings. In spite of his own searing hurt and crushing disappointment, this man, a righteous man, a just man, is caring about this woman who has broken his heart and humiliated him. It's amazing. Amazing. And not only did he react with sensitivity, the beginning of verse 20 shows us that he reacted with objectivity. But while he thought on these things, thought about it. Not only what had happened, he didn't just sit around thinking about what had happened to him. He didn't only think about how this difficult circumstance that had come crashing into his life and changed everything. He didn't just focus on his own pain, his own anguish, his own problems, but he objectively thought about how to handle this situation. How should I deal with this? I don't want to humiliate her in public. I don't want to do that. How can I do it in a way that won't hurt her any more than she's hurt? That's an amazing response. And he reacted with objectivity rather than reacting emotionally in the flesh. This word, thought on. The picture there is the picture of something revolving through the mind, of a person who's pondering, who's deliberating. In other words, he spent time, he invested his precious time in thinking about how he could handle this difficult circumstance in a sensitive way to benefit other people. That's a righteous reaction. A righteous reaction. We carry that over into our own lives and want to be just like Joseph. How can we react with sensitivity to others when we're the one going through the problem and maybe they've been involved in that and we're hurt and we're confused and our lives have been turned upside down because of this circumstance, these people, this situation? Be just like Joseph, we need to be like the Lord Jesus, who looked out on the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. The omniscient one looks out and sees those who very soon will be part of the crowd that says, "Crucify him," that will reject him. And yet he looks out upon them knowing their hearts. And he's moved with compassion. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And that's the Lord Jesus looking with sensitivity at others. And as we seek to move our focus away from ourselves, what a challenge that is to do that. For us to be in the middle of the problem and yet to sensitively look at how others are being affected, how they're being affected even by my response to the problem, my response to the difficult circumstance that I wasn't expecting. Reacting with sensitivity to others, moving the focus away from self. That's what Joseph did. Can you imagine yourself in Joseph's situation? Can you imagine responding like he did? He's a righteous man, a just man. And for us to react not only with sensitivity, but also with objectivity. To be careful and to examine our own hearts, to identify those potential emotional reactions of anger and envy, self-pity. The Lord Jesus, we see Him there on the cross. As He looked out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Joseph looking for a way, considering a way, trying to be objective about the circumstance rather than responding through emotion. In the old nature, the natural response, self-protection, revenge, justice from my perspective, rather looking as Joseph did, pondering, revolving in our minds, deliberating. To react with sensitivity to others when we're hurting and to react with objectivity when our emotions are boiling. Both of these reactions are uncharacteristic of our humanness. But they both are perfectly in line with the righteousness that we have in Christ. For those who have come to that point of recognizing, I am unrighteous, I am unjust before God, I am guilty. I'm a sinner. To come to that point and to recognize our own hopelessness before God, our inability to ever be right in the eyes of God, who knows every little thought of my mind and every little intention of my heart, how will I ever be right before Him? How can a man, Job asked, be just with God? How can it be? But to come to that point of recognition that the Lord Jesus, the one who came, stepson, as it were, to this man, Joseph, the Lord Jesus, the righteous one, the just, died for the unjust to bring us to God, recognizing the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And recognizing Him as the one who in His perfection went to Calvary to be my substitute, that He might be made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him, that I might believe on Him, that I might take God at His word and receive His Son, the Lord Jesus, who shed His blood for me and died for my sins and was raised again the third day and now offers salvation, that I might believe on Him and have that imputed to my account, credited to me as righteousness. And that not only might I have my account credited with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, but I might actually have the Son of God live in me by the Holy Spirit. And that I might live a life of righteousness, that I might live a life being a just man. That's how I can do it. Not in my own strength, but by the grace of God, He will live the life of the Lord Jesus through me in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I can react with sensitivity to others even when I am aching. And I can react with objectivity to circumstances even when my emotions are rushing by the power of God. I want you to notice a couple of other things about Joseph, and we can probably combine them here. because they concern his response to the message of God. Just like Joseph, we should receive and respond to God's message with openness and obedience, even in the difficult circumstances in life. Notice here the four times that God speaks to Joseph. Notice first of all in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God speaks to him. He says, Joseph, is okay. Take this woman as your wife. And when this child is born, you name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Notice verse 24. Joseph's response, a just man. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Man, here's a man who heard what God said, and he did what God instructed. God brought him words of explanation. God brought him words of comfort. But God also brought him words of commandment. Here's what I want you to do. And here's a man, a just man, who received with openness the message from God and responded with obedience to that. Notice, if you will, with me in chapter 2, after the story of the wise men, and they leave, go down to verse 13. The message comes to him again. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Notice Joseph, the just man, the righteous man, verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He obeyed God. He did exactly what God had told him to do through the angel. That was the messenger in this situation. Chapter 2, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Verse 21. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Again, immediate, unquestioned, complete obedience to the word of God which was communicated to him. One more we have in verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Again, complete, unquestioned, immediate obedience to the message from God. Now, he received his message by an angel in a dream. How did he know that message was from God? I wondered about that. How did he know it was truly an angel from God? You know, I don't really know how he knew that. But it made me ask myself, how do we know this message is from God? We know it's interesting. One of the ways, and we don't have time to look a whole lot at it, but one of the ways that we know the message is from God is brought out all throughout this passage. Look back in verse 22 of chapter 1. You know the phrase I'm going to be pointing at. Now, all this that was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And you can read all through the first two chapters of Matthew, and time and again, this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet. And we can look back into Scripture, and we see the prophecies of God fulfilled perfectly. Time after time, God saying, This is my word. take it. Receive it. He says, I want you to be just like Joseph. I want you to be like the Thessalonians. And here's what Paul said about this. He said, when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. That believe. We believe God is counted to us as righteousness. We're brought into the family of God, birthed into His family with a new nature, the ability to be right, to live a life that honors Him and is pleasing according to His standard. And then to obey what He says. Some of the things that He tells us to do when we're caught up in the middle of circumstances that are difficult, sometimes we're skipping over what He tells us to do. We read the Scripture in our time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And we read an instruction from God and we pass on by it to look for a promise. And God tells us something to do which doesn't seem to make sense based on the circumstance in which we find ourselves, and so we put it aside for a more convenient time. Joseph, a just man, received the word of God as it is in truth, not the word of men, but the word of God, which works effectively in us who believe. And he got up from that dream, and he immediately and completely and willingly did what God instructed him to do. Might have seemed ridiculous, some of it, but he did it anyway. We need to be just like Joseph. Just like Joseph, we're going to encounter difficult and often unexpected difficulties in life. And I don't know what you're going through right now. I mean, I know some of what you're going through. You know some of what I'm going through. But there are probably things that we're not aware of publicly. But we know what they are. And God knows what they are. And God is desiring that we would respond to these difficult circumstances just like Joseph, that we might reflect the Lord Jesus. I trust that that will be true as we meditate on the Savior and we reflect on Him and His birth coming into this world, seeking by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, but calling out to God, enable me to do what seems ridiculous, what seems impossible, but what I believe that you have instructed me to do, and I want to be faithful. I want to be just like Joseph, that just man. Might it be true? And might our lives reflect and affect people all around this world in the coming days and in the coming year, as we yield ourselves to Him and seek to be just like Joseph, receiving the Word of God as it is, the Word of God, responding with obedience, reacting with sensitivity and objectivity, all because of the work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary and His resurrection. He's done a work in the life of every believer. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can be just before God today. You can be righteous. Ask Him to forgive you based on the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus. We'd love to talk with you more about that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our time this morning and Your Word. We've thought about this man Joseph and the example that we have of him. Father, a minor character in the Scripture. Father, easy to overlook and to put aside, but Father, we thank You for His obedience. We thank You, Father, that he heard You and received Your Word as it is, Your Word, and responded in faith, believing You, and Father, You looked upon his heart. You knew him and know him as one who truly believed You, and Father, we pray that we will be a group of people who will truly believe You. We'll take You at Your word and respond in obedience, reacting in ways that amaze this world, because, Father, they're not of this world. We thank You for the miracle of the virgin birth of Your Son. We thank You for the miracle of His sinless life. We thank you for the miracle of his substitutionary death at Calvary for us. We thank you for the miracle of his resurrection, the miracle of his ascension back to your right hand, the miracle of his sending of the Holy Spirit, who is working even now to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Father, we thank you for the miracle of the new birth, and that by faith we can be made new in Christ Jesus and being able to live lives of righteousness. Father, might we do that for your glory, and we pray and ask these things in the name that's above every name, the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.